In 2 John, and I'm not sure because of some technical difficulties if we will be able to see it on the PowerPoint, but if you have a Bible, if you brought your Bible to church today, and you encourage you to look at that. If not, there is one in the row of chairs in front of you, and if you could do that, that'll be fine. While Josh is working on the light, I believe that I can get by until that is ready. But today we would like to focus on, thank you, guard your newfound faith. Guard your newfound faith. And the word new does not necessarily mean that this happened yesterday or last week or 2 weeks ago. It could be that a year ago, 2 year, 5, 10, 15 years ago, when you took a step of faith and you open up your heart to Jesus and accepted him as your Lord and as your Savior, you heard the gospel and you were moved, and that's when you give your heart to Christ, and that's your newfound faith. Now, we need to guard that. Because if we are not careful, if we don't guard it, the enemy is after that and he wants to steal that away from us, that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He wants to steal that. And so we need to guard that. And so in 2 John, John is dealing with a very difficult and delicate situation within the church. And he did not beat around the bush when he gave some directions as to how to handle this issue, how we are to guard our faith against the enemy. Already in 1 John 4 and 2, John dealt with the heretics who deny the reality of the incarnation. And this gave John an opportunity to point out or to make the believers aware of the existence of the Antichrist. He stated that the world was full of deceivers and who did not believe, who did not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And anyone who denies that is a deceiver and is an antichrist. They do not believe that God has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are against Christ and his teaching. They do not obey his commands. They endeavor to get Christians to abandon the way of truth and life. The antichrist and deceivers, their goal is to get individual Christians and the Christian community to walk away from their faith. And in so doing, they would lose everything that they have established for a number of years in becoming a child of God. All the time and all the labor would be in vain if the deceivers are successful in leading the children of God astray. And therefore, we need to be careful. We need to be mindful. We need to guard this faith that we have in Jesus Christ and do not take it for granted. That is not to say that God is not watching over his children and watching over you and that relationship, but we need to do our part in being careful and mindful and watchful as to what we need to do. So let's look at the main scripture this morning. In 2 John 7-13. And this is give us a better idea. Like I said, we may not be able to see it on the PowerPoint, but if you have your Bibles, please open it to 2 John. Starting at verse 7, it says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not love God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Here is a difficult part, and I have to say that I struggled with this for a while myself in verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him share in his wicked deed. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and to talk with you face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your chosen sister send their greetings. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Before we dive into these verses of Scripture, I want us to consider a couple of things. And first and foremost is that we need to love the Lord. We need to love God. This has been a dominant subject and theme in John's letter. He talks about love. He talks about love. He talks about love. All he's encouraging us to love God more and more each day. In Luke 10, verse 25 to 28, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Said, "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "To this, do this, and you would live." Folks, if we love God in this way, if we love God as laid out in the Scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love the Lord your God with all your soul, love the Lord your God with all your strength, and love the Lord your God with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, we can save ourselves a multitude of sins. And we can save ourselves from making some gravely mistakes. And all because we love God. But not only that, but if we love God as laid out in the Scriptures, we are more likely to detect the deceiver and the Antichrist. And that's because of the love of God, which has taken hold of us. We are able to do that. So first and foremost, we should love God. And then we should guard what we have. We should guard what we have, which is the subject today. And what this is saying is that we don't have to hire a guard to go with us wherever we go and walk with us. And if someone crosses our pathway with something strange, our guard is going to say, "Hey, back off, leave this person alone." That is not what John is talking about, and to have an idea. But he's saying we need to guard what we have, and therefore, how do we do that? How do we guard what we have? We should be able, in our own relationship with Jesus Christ, be able to detect and to know who the enemy is and what they're after. And so here are some suggestions I would like for you to consider as we try to guard what we have. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Day in, day out, stay in the Word. We must make time to read the Bible. on a daily basis. And you can pick like a book, one of the Gospels maybe. Probably John Gospel is one of the favorite to read that. Or pick one of the books of Paul and write in the book of Acts or Romans. But read the Bible every single day. And not only that, have a notepad when you're reading God's Word. And God is going to be speaking to you. Make notes. You may say, well, this is childish or this is, so simple. No, write it down. And then go back and see what you wrote down, because God's Holy Spirit has said something to you while you were reading His Word. But make some notes. Then pray. Prayer is one of the ways that we communicate with God, that we stay in touch with Him. And folks, we can never overemphasize the importance of prayer in our life. And take time off to pray. Take time off to spend time with God. Ask Him to show you, that you may see, you may hear, you may understand what His words is trying to say to you. You may discover some new truth through your prayer and what God is trying to teach you. But make a list. Make a list of people. It could be family members, friends, co-workers, people from the church. Make a list of the people that you need to pray for and the things you need to pray for, and remember them in your prayer. And prayer is so important. I want to share something with you in the daily devotional guide. I don't know if you happen to glance at this, but this is today's. And yesterday, when we were having our devotion, I kind of flipped the page and I found this. And it's so important about how much and how well we need to pray. Let me share this with you. When Abraham Lincoln became president of the United States, he was tasked with leading a fractured nation. He was viewed as a wise leader and a man of high moral character. But another element to his makeup, perhaps, was the foundation for everything else. He understood that he was inadequate for the task at hand. His response to that inadequacy, he said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom, that of all about me, seemed insufficient for that day." And that was part of what he did. Prayer, folks, is so important for all of us. Share your new insight with somebody. Maybe God has revealed something to you in Scripture that you have never seen before. It could even be a familiar passage, but God, Holy Spirit, showed you something and you were blessed by it. Call a friend, call somebody and says, "Hey, this is what God has taught me today. This is what I found out from His Word." So share that with someone. Attend church regularly. If we are to guard what we have, we need to become stronger. And this is one of the ways. And I know that it is not possible to be in church every single Sunday due to sickness and due to illness circumstances, especially now that we are getting over and getting to some form of normalcy as a result of the pandemic. But by all means, make a special effort to be in church, because we need each other. We need the fellowship. We need the camaraderie. We need to share with each other. We need to bless each other, to encourage each other. And all of that can happen when we come together as God's people. And not to forget that His Word says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That is so important. And then one of the things too that we can do as we are trying to guard what we have, attend a conference or a workshop, if it all be possible. We need to hear from new teachers and speakers and stuff like that, and that help us to become stronger, help us to draw closer to God. So guard your faith, guard what you have, and you'll become stronger. So let's look at the scripture a little closer this morning, what John is trying to say to us. And first of all, Christians must look to themselves. Christian must look to themselves. Look at verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Of course, John does not mean by this that Christians prevail in their own strength, that they are all sufficient and they don't need someone once they have established a relationship with Jesus Christ. But what John is saying is that there is sufficient power in the love of Jesus Christ, which has been shed abroad in our hearts and lives through the Holy Spirit, to keep us in the truth. There is a power that works in the heart of the believer and in the midst of the church that is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all we can ask and think. That is what John is talking about. The Christian ought to be a fighter. The Christian ought to be a combatant. We are not going to just sit back and take everything that comes. We are going to fight back because of the love of God which has been shed abroad in our hearts and in our lives. And so we must trust God and depend upon Him, as well as we work through all of this by depending on ourselves and our strength with Jesus Christ. If there is any uncertainty in all of this, it lies within us and not in the power of God and what He has promised with us. The Christian can win against the deceivers, against the Antichrist, if he wills, but the choice is ours. The more we look at ourselves, the more we realize how much we depend upon God. Because as we look deeper and deeper, we see where the lack is, and we come to God and we ask Him for His help. Secondly, John warned against getting ahead of the plan of God. He warns about getting ahead of the plan of God. In verse 9, it says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Folks, if the devil cannot get you to give up, he will endeavor to get you to run ahead of God. And that's his goal. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to get ahead of God's plan. But timing is a very important factor with God in dealing with His children. His plan requires that the people keep in step with Him. It's not a good idea for us to try to get ahead of God and saying, well, God, you need to come along. You're behind me. No, it should be the opposite way, that God is leading and we are following. I've seen a sign at one time that says, God saying that I can do this. I don't need your help. I could do this all by myself. And so we need to be careful that we do not try to get ahead of God. A couple of reasons why we try to get ahead of God is because of restlessness. Restlessness is an indication of someone who is outside of the will of God. And whenever someone is outside of the will of God, they don't understand, they cannot comprehend, and they are restless, and they just want to move on to something else or go in their own direction. And that's one of the things. But the true forward progress of the church is in following Jesus Christ, but not in any irresponsible behavior in running ahead of Him. Another reason why people try to get ahead of God is because of their unwillingness to follow the task. God has given us a task, and God expects us that we should be able to finish the task that He has given us. And sometimes we don't like some of these things that we encounter, and while we are doing the task, and so we want to give up, and we just want to leave it unfinished and move along. And that's one of the reasons why people try to get ahead of God. In Dante's vision of paradise, he found angels in the far reaches of heaven. He asked them if it did not bother them to be so far removed from the throne. They reply, "You don't understand. He placed us here, and in His will is our peace." The reward of the Christian is happiness and peace. And whenever we finish the task that He has given us, we are going to have that. Not to mention that in the end of all of this, there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us in heaven. So John warns against trying to get ahead of the plan of God. And so we should stay in step, we should follow, we should obey. And then the Christian will not be without suggestions. The Christians will not be without suggestions. Suggestions are going to come from everywhere. They're going to be there. Look at verse 10 and 11. "If anyone comes to you," speaking about suggestions, "if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, and do not take him into your house or welcome him, anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work." One translation says, "Don't even wish them Godspeed." Now, if one of those people come to your door, the Jehovah's Witness, or the Mormon, or one of those cultish groups, how can you say something that's not loving or that you respect the individual? And like I said before, this has bothered me for a long time. And then when the scripture was pointed out to me that if we entertain them and if we wish them Godspeed, we are joining with them in the doctrine of the Antichrist and the deceiver. And John is saying very clearly, and like I said, he did not beat around the bush in when he gave this instruction. He says, "Do not take him into your house. Do not welcome him. Do not wish him Godspeed." So what can you say? You could say, "I'm not interested. I'm sorry." Do not even take their literature, and they would hand you a literature or a pamphlet or brochure for a small donation. And all you have to do, you don't have to say, "Well, I want to be kind, I will accept it." No, according to God's word, it says no. Do not even take that from them. And so we need this business of being in our guard and guarding our faith, our salvation is very, very important. All suggestions will not be good advice. Suggestions are going to come from different phases of life and different angles and different denomination, different school of thought, philosophical influences, all these suggestions are going to come. But the test of the advice is that whether it corresponds with the will of God. If it does not correspond with the will of God, folks, it is wrong. If it does not suggest, do not entertain it, however glamorous or personally rewarding it may appear to be, it should be quickly put out. Someone says that anything that's negative or contrary to the word of God, if it's not put away in the first 7 seconds, it starts to take hold in you. And so there should be no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You know immediately that it's not right, it's wrong, it should be put away, and do not entertain it. Very, very important. And so if we welcome them, God's word is saying that we become a partaker of the evil. It is true that John may have in mind the false prophets who were traveling around at that time, while the true prophets, Christians and followers of Christ, were traveling as well. And when it comes to the late hours of the evening, people will welcome them in their home. And in the midst of all of that, they were welcoming the false prophets, not knowing that they were false prophets. And of course, the good prophets, they were welcoming them as well, and they were speaking the truth. They were speaking the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he did come in the flesh. And John was writing against that, and he was saying that to be careful of the false prophets. And again, how do we know? How can we sift them out? When the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts and lives, when we love him with everything that we have, there is nothing from us to go out to any other belief system that there is, because we know in whom we believe. And then John says, as we conclude this, he says, when you talk about having a face-to-face talk, is the best. Look at verse 12 and 13. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face-to-face so that our joy may be complete. Folks, we cannot say enough how important the written word is. Very, very important. But what we have here is that experience had evidently taught John that one does not have to write a great deal to make a letter meaningful. But on this occasion, he said, he preferred not to put on paper with ink what he wanted to say, but instead to have a face-to-face with the brethren. And the reason, the main reason for all of this, is that their joy may be full. How often have you been on the telephone with a friend, somebody that you know, co-worker, whatever, and in the course of the conversation, you said something like, I want to talk to you about something. And the person says, well, what? And then you say, I prefer to talk to you face to face about this. Because you know what you want to communicate. And once you do that, and not only that, but what does a face-to-face do? When we think about the facial expression, when we think about the eye contact, when we think about the body language, when we think about the emotional content of it and the connection that there is when there is a face-to-face. Parents, you know what a face-to-face means, right? And you don't have to say a word. And just that look from mom or from dad, and that child knows exactly what you are talking about and what you want. The eye contact. The psalmist David talked about being guided by God's eyes. Being guided by God's eyes. When Peter had denied his Lord on the night before the crucifixion, it was not only the crowing of the rooster that broke his heart, but it was the look that Jesus gave him. And Jesus did not say a single word. All he did, he looked at Peter, and Peter knew exactly what that look meant. Exactly. A face to face. We need to be careful what John is talking about, because it's so important. We do not want to lose what we have. We do not want to compromise what we have. But instead, we should become stronger and stronger each day in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason, the end result is that one day, we are going to see Jesus. How are we going to see him? Face to face. Just like John says, I have so much to say to you, but I want to come to you. Are we going to see Jesus face to face? We have seen pictures of Jesus. We have an idea what his face looked like. But I know some people are probably going to say, when I see him face to face, I may be tempted to just put my hand on his face and touch him. But as we leave today, guard what you have. Do not take it for granted. Do not allow any negativity to creep into your lives to compromise what you have. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for what we have. And that is, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have the joys of sin forgiven. We have become new creatures in Jesus Christ. All things are passed away and all things have become new. We know that what we have, that the world did not give it to us. But Jesus Christ gave his life. And as a result, we have what we have. Give us the grace and the strength that we will keep that we will be closer drawn to you. Because we know in the end result, we are looking forward for that day when we would spend eternity with Jesus Christ, because we have guarded our faith.